Good evening, church. It's amazing to be there in this service today. But then you all know, we all are sitting at home, and it's very odd to preach when there's nobody in the church. I just want to thank each one of you for praying for us. And it has been an amazing journey for us. And we just want to thank that all your prayers are answered. The treatment for Bindu has really made a difference in her treatment, and I just want to thank from the bottom of my heart. Without this body, I don't think so. this would have been possible. So, having said that, let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, Lord, we have. And we pray, Lord, that you are right there for us. And you are listening to our prayers. You are answering to our prayers. Lord, right now you are on the right-hand side of the Father. And you are interceding for us, Lord. We just want to thank you for that. And we have that hope no one else would have. We ask you, Father, to bless this portion in Jesus' name. Amen. There are two portions I'll read in Luke 21, verse 9, as it says, "And when you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end does not follow immediately." And the other verse which I want to refer is in same chapter, Luke 21, verse 34, 35, and 36. 34 says, "Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day come on you suddenly like a trap." Verse 35, "For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth." In verse 36, "But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." When you look at this, and if you look at what's happening at the moment, if you open the newspaper, do you get a good news or you get a bad news? There's no doubt about it. It's bad news. I mean, I don't think so ever in the history of like the time when of the recent times, that when you look at the news or in the newspaper or even in the mobile phones, you see the counter saying that how many people are dying on a daily basis. And that's the news, isn't it? Like, I remember when we used to watch the cricket match and you're looking at the scores, who's winning and who's winning. Now the numbers are how many people are getting infected and how many are dying. If you look at the economy is down, that's the news. People losing jobs, no hope. And you know, it's amazing how we have learned in our Bible college, you know, that there are three things coming against us. One is the world system, the devil himself, and the old sin nature which we have. And the other point which we also know, that God is all-knowing. You know, he's omniscient. He knows from the end till the beginning. And don't you think so, as believers, we have been sharing the gospel on the streets and we have been warning that the time is going to come at some point, right? And lo and behold, the time has just come. And I remember one of the morning devotions of Pastor Shallow. In fact, I think so it was the first ones where he clearly mentioned that we as believers or as spiritual people, we are not going to get shocked by this. In the sense, we are prepared. We already know that something like this will happen. But, you know, we as even believers have also got shocked that how come it has come so fast. In fact, caught unaware. But we are prepared. You know, so if you look at verse 9 of Luke 21, And when you hear of wars and disturbances, and do not be terrified. You know what he's saying? Jesus is saying that, don't get worried, but when you talk about the wars and the disturbances, let's accept that fact, it is real. And typically this particular, the war which is happening right now, the enemy you cannot see, it's an invisible enemy. And we would always think about war where the soldiers are fighting at the borders. But here we are right in it, you know. But you know what Jesus Christ is giving us an assurance. He's saying that don't be terrified, don't be scared, and do not panic. Isn't it a great assurance for us that we are not supposed to panic? And in fact, if you look at it, you know, how God looks at things is not the way we look at it. We are so much scared of the social order, which is broken right now. We can't meet. We can't even meet in the church. Okay, we can't meet our friends. And we get terrorized by the number and hundreds of people who are losing their lives. Right? And these things are very serious things for us. But you know what is the most worryful thing for God is at the moment? Is about the sin. Sin is the most, his heart breaks when he thinks about sin. Because if a person loses his life and the person has not believed in Jesus Christ, he is going to go to eternity forever. You know, that is what the most important thing for God is. You know, it is not about the war and the devastation, definitely. But the most important thing in his mind is salvation. His mind is sin. And he has called us and he has appointed us. And you know what? Jesus Christ is telling to his disciples not to worry. You worry about the sin, okay? And you have to share. That is what he's telling them. And when we come right face to face with this, you know, it is right in front of our face right now. You know what our attitude should be? The attitude should be like this. Father, I do not understand this. You have said, do not be scared, so I will not be scared. Let's have this attitude. And also he said, let your heart be not troubled. So I will not let it be. My confidence is in you. Can we have this attitude? I think so, we can. So if you look at now verse 34, 35 and 36, it says that be on guard that your hearts may not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. Wow. In fact, it's very interesting. In verse 9, he's saying that don't worry and you don't have to worry. But here he's saying be careful. You know, it's like a contradiction. But as we understood in the verse 9, when he's saying is worry, or he's saying that I'll take care of you, right? And the worry is about people losing their life to eternity without knowing him and not to be with him forever. Now in verse 34, he's talking about dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. You know, this is talking about self-indulgence. It means that when the war and devastation, everything is happening in the world, we should not shut ourselves in the world of our own and ignore the demand made on us by the Lord or by our fellow brothers and sisters. You know, we have to have an intercessory prayer time. So we intercede, which means we are not locked in our own selves, in our self-indulgence. And I just want to tell you the testimony where I just said a few minutes back that whenever I call and I would receive call, you know, Manoj and Bindu, we are praying for you. We are praying for you. Every phone call I would get and I would receive this, we are praying for you. You know what? This is what our body is, where we intercede for each other, right? So this is what God has prepared us for. Jesus is saying, don't get distracted in self-indulgence. but be focused on Him and His purpose. In verse 34, again, it says that day is going to come to you suddenly. You know what? God already knows what is the end is going to be. And He is already preparing for us, preparing the time for us. So imagine the kind of discipline we have. We come to church Wednesday, Sunday, morning, evening, and in fact, every day for Bible college. The kind of discipline, the kind of Bible lessons we read. And He's preparing us. And we are not supposed to get self-indulged, like in our own world and living our own life of externals. And the moment we are caught in the crisis, we are not confused, but we are aware, we are alert. And it's a very, very famous statement. In fact, I don't know whether it is famous, but Oswald Chambers said this. There's a false sense of security produced by considering that there is safety in numbers. I'll repeat. There's a false sense of security produced by considering that there is safety in numbers. Imagine. Verse 35 says, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. It will come to everybody. It is no more got to do with rich and no more got to do with poor. It's come to all of us, right? So this number is not about that I'm going to have so much of property. Then in fact, if you look at more than 50,000 people died in the United States. People in India and a lot of other parts of the world, they want to plan to go to US. Now nobody wants to go to US. In India, it is almost touching 1,000 deaths. And it's adding day to day. So it is not about rich and poor now. I mean, Bible is very clear on this. In fact, Prince Charles, on the monarchy in UK, and even the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, they both all got infected. So this is a great leveler, which means there's no safety in numbers. But verse 36 is very important. I say, Jesus is saying, but keep on the alert at all times. How? Praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and then to stand before the Son of Man. Keep alert at all times. Praying in order that you may have strength to escape. You know what Jesus is telling us? Let us stay alert. Let us stay awake. You know, what he's saying is that this virus or this lockdown or this situation might come and go. Another situation might come. And I think so it's a great time that where we are learning how to even more disciplined, praying for each other. So let's stay awake. Let's stay alert. And let's not get bogged down with the worry and the externals. That is what he's saying. And let us readjust ourselves to the Lord's counsel. And what is Lord's counsel? Oswald Chambers has made some wonderful points. And I would like to close with this. Lord has told us to what? 4-5 things. Number one, keep alert to be pure. Right? What are we supposed to be alert? Alert to be pure. Second one, yield to no temptations to panic. Let's not get yielded to the temptations to get panicked, right? And third is to false emotions. I can fall into a false emotion, right? And fourth one is illegitimate gain or a cowardly sense of futility. What is it, illegitimate gain means? There are a lot of people who wants to make a fortune out of this situation right now. Because people are vulnerable at this point. And there are some guys who want to make a legitimate gain out of this. We have to be watchful of that. Keep alert to be pure. You know, a lot of things can come into our mind. Because we are not interacting. We don't have fellowship now. But we are always have this in my mind. You know, what this can go wrong. One that can go wrong. What am I supposed to plan? He says, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. And let's not get tempted to get panic. He's saying, I'm going to take care of you. Don't panic. And let's not have false emotions. Our emotions, like Pastor Stevens has taught us, Like there is a healthy emotions, and the emotions, when it is healthy, which is grounded in the word of God, right? When we are listening from the word of God, when we are praying, we are interceding for others. You know, we can talk on the phone today and we can intercede for each other. And let's not have false emotions. Let's not take the false emotions can take us to another extreme. In fact, the emotions are good. If there are good emotions, that emotions can take care of our mind. And the other important point is the illegitimate gain. Let's be watchful of that. It's not about that you're going to do an illegitimate gain, but somebody else might be trying to do an illegitimate gain on you. Let's be watchful on that. So God is saying that all these things are there. So He's warning us, because it's not going to end now, because God's mind is that people should get saved. Right? In closing, I would like to make a statement. We can never be where we are not. We are just where we are. Let's remember that. We can never be where we are not. We are just where we are. So let us be alert and pray for His sake. Right? So we are great stewards of Him. We might fail. We might fall. We might make a whole lot of mistakes. But you know what? He is holding His arms under us. So just let us ourselves for Him. And let us lose ourselves for Him. You know? So let me pray and close this portion. Lord, we just want to thank You. And we want to praise You for who You are, Lord. Thank You for warning us. Thank You for teaching us. Thank You, Lord, that You have taught us to be disciplined. And thank You, Lord, that You have taught us to be fervent. Thank You, Lord, that You have taught in this church through all our pastor teachers what is to be on the word and trust Your nature and character, Lord. We know that You love us. We have the mercy from You, Lord. We have the grace from You, Lord. We can just come to You because the veil is rent and the Holy of Holies is open for us to just come to You. And You will never let us down. Thank You, Lord. We ask You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday evening service today. I hope you're anticipating that things will open up on Monday. I'm also been waiting for that. And we just have to hang in there and believe God, and things will come back to normalcy. And for today's passage, let's read from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this evening. We pray You would really give us Your grace. You would really quicken us now as we hear Your word. You would give us illumination from Your word, Lord. You would speak a personal word to each one of us, and You would minister to us, Father. Give us patience, Lord, to bear this lockdown. and to look to you and trust in you, Lord. Yes, Father, and we pray for that moment when we will be back again in the church and we will be able to meet one another face to face. Father, we thank you, Lord. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. When we look at these few verses, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, which is 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus are known as the pastoral letters, where Paul has written to one individual. And there are four words here for prayer, which sums up all of prayer. In verse 1, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So I love this verse because in one verse, it embodies the whole dimension or the whole spectrum of prayer. So the first word, supplication, is the word in the Greek which means asking God for a specific thing. It could mean asking God for a specific thing or asking man for a specific thing. It's a general word, but in this context, it is asking God for a specific thing. The second word is prayers, and this talks about the word which talks about general prayer, any general prayer which is directed to God. The third one is intercessions, and this talks about praying to God on behalf of somebody, or praying to God in somebody's favor, and giving of thanks. And giving of thanks talks about being thankful. And here it says, be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So this, Paul is telling Timothy, firstly, I want you to pray in this way, with supplications, with prayers, with intercessions and giving of thanks for all men, that is all men in general, for kings and for all who are in authority, that is, in our context today, for prime ministers, presidents, and so on and so forth, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, or the NASB says, in all godliness and dignity. And the object of the prayer for government, for people in power, is so that we can live a quiet and peaceful life in godliness and dignity. And today, this evening, I want to speak on the subject of intercession. Intercession. As we were at home, and we have been at home, I just found a few tracks, and I started looking at it, and I was just thinking that, yes, we cannot share the gospel in this current season the way we used to. But the thought which occurred to me was that we can intercede and we can pray. And so I want to speak on today the subject of intercession. Now, when we come to the Bible or when you do a concordance study on the word intercession, it's very interesting that most of the mentions of intercession are the mentions of God himself. Very few mentions are about man, but most of the mentions are about God himself. And I found that very interesting because there's only one verse, this 1 Timothy 2:1, which talks about us interceding for others. But otherwise, most of the verses talks about God interceding himself. And that's a very interesting point. So in our first point we see is the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a very important theme in the Bible, and many of us overlook this theme when we think about the subject of intercession. When we think about the subject of intercession, mostly we think about what we need to pray for others or on behalf of others, but we totally omit what the Bible says about the intercessory ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we read the Bible and when we study the Bible, there are many mentions of Jesus praying for others or Jesus praying on behalf of others. And one of the mentions as he was on the earth is in Luke chapter 22, where 31 and 32 he says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." I have prayed for you. This is very interesting. This is before Peter is going to deny him. The Lord knows what is going to happen and he has prayed. And that when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. And we know, as we read the gospel accounts, that in John 21, Jesus restored Peter and Peter did come back to Jesus. And in Acts chapter 2, we see that he was used mightily of God to preach the gospel when the Holy Spirit came down and 3,000 people got saved. So this was the Lord's prayer on behalf of Peter when he was on the earth before his death on the cross. And this prayer of Jesus got answered. When Jesus was on the cross, we see he made another prayer in Luke 23:34. He says, "Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." That's a beautiful verse. That's a beautiful heart. This is a beautiful thought. And you see here the heart of Jesus, that he is looking at his enemies, the ones who have crucified him, the ones who have mocked him. And he is saying to the Father, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And that prayer of his was answered, because in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached the first message, we see that he says to them, here, in Acts chapter 2:36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And we see in verse 37, their hearts are cut. Verse 38, Peter says, "Repent," because that was they had to repent of that sin of crucifying him on the cross. And we see 3,000 people. And we could safely assume that most of them were those who were there at the cross, believed in him, and got saved and received the forgiveness of sins. So we see the intercessory ministry of Jesus. And we also see that in John chapter 17, before he goes to the cross, he prays for his disciples. And he prays many things, but In John 17, verse 20, he prays this: "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one." And this prayer is fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, because when Peter preached, 3,000 people believed. And so we see the intercessory ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't stop there. As we have been in the subject of resurrection, we see in Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, it says, "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." And that is such a beautiful verse, because it is talking about what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing currently in heaven. He is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession. He is constantly interceding for us. Therefore, you and I, we cannot be condemned before God the Father after we have believed in him as our Savior. Even though we may be living in a season of sin on the earth, or we are condemning our own selves, or others are condemning us, the Bible says we cannot be condemned because Christ is at the right hand of God. And in 1 John 2:1, He is our advocate, or he is our defense lawyer who is interceding on our behalf, and therefore we cannot be condemned. When you come to Hebrews 7, he is our high priest today, and he is interceding for us in Hebrews 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He is always living, and that is why we can never be lost, because he is at the right hand of the Father, and what we call in theology the session of Christ, C-E-S-S-I-O-N. That is, what is his current ministry now, after his death, burial, and his resurrection, is that he is at the right hand of the Father, and he is constantly interceding for us. And therefore, we are totally safe in grace. We are totally, eternally secure, and we can never be condemned before God the Father anymore, because Jesus is constantly interceding for us. Now, it doesn't stop there in the Godhead. We also see that the Holy Spirit has a ministry of intercession for us. In John 14:16, this is what Jesus said. He said, I will pray, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So that was his prayer, that after his ascension, the Holy Spirit would be. It was a prayer, and it was also a promise. And in Acts chapter 2, that prayer got fulfilled. They received the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. And for us today, when we hear the gospel and we believe in Jesus as our Savior, the moment we believe in Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30, and 2 Corinthians 1:22, we get sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit also has a ministry of intercession. So isn't it very interesting today that the subject of intercession is focused on the Son interceding for us at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit now intercedes in us and through us in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and verse 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. If you see the subject of groaning, we see there are three groanings in verse 22 of Romans 8. The creation is groaning to be delivered, that is the whole created world. In verse 23, we are groaning to be delivered from this body and to go to heaven. And then we see in verse 26, the Holy Spirit is groaning with intercession, with groanings which cannot be uttered because of our weaknesses. Verse 27, now he who searches the hearts, which is talking about God the Father, knows what is the mind of the Holy Spirit, because he, that is the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now this is so encouraging today, because as we are at home, you may be anxious about what's going to happen in the future. You may be depressed about staying in an enclosed space. You may be without hope. You may be, as a housewife, you may be thinking, when will the maid come? When will the maid come? And so on and so forth. And in all those struggles and in all those weaknesses, the Holy Spirit is in us groaning, interceding with groanings which cannot be uttered. And God the Father understands the groanings of the Holy Spirit, because they are according to the will of God. That is why you and I can never be lost. That is why you and I can never be losers on the earth as Christians. We are always winners Because the Son intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is constantly interceding in us and through us. And therefore, no matter what condition you find yourself in, the two people in the Godhead, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, are interceding on our behalf for our walk in this world, for our sanctification, so that we could be overcomers and we could be filled with joy and we could face our weaknesses and our temptations and go forward with God. And that is such an encouraging theme in the Bible, that the two people in the Godhead, they have this ministry of intercession to each born-again son and daughter. And that is really very, very encouraging. Now, it just doesn't stop there, this ministry. When we come to 1 Timothy 2, we see, and I was just thinking about this, that God now has given us many privileges through the gospel. But I was just thinking of two specific privileges. And one privilege is the ability to share the gospel message with anybody in the world. That means God has not only saved us, but he has given us the gospel message. And he tells us that you can share with any person in the world. That is, either one of the 7 billion people in the world or all of the 7 billion people in the world, you can share the gospel. And if they believe in Jesus as their savior, they can be saved. I think that is an incredible privilege, the ability to share the gospel. And the second privilege which God gives us is the ability to pray to him, not only for ourselves, but for others. And this also includes all the people on the earth. That is 7 billion people on the earth. Right? You can pray. You know, when you pray for somebody whom you don't know, like let's assume we pray for the Prime Minister, Mr. Modi. God will never ask us, do you know him personally? Is he related to you? He will never ask us. When we pray for him, God will hear our prayer and will answer it on his behalf. And so we see here is the encouragement to pray specific prayers, to pray general prayers, to intercede on behalf of all people, and to thank God for all people, maybe in our country and also in the world, for us to live this peaceful life. And the second point we see is, now God has, the first point is the ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit has a ministry of intercession to every believer in Christ. The second point is, now God gives us this privilege also to intercede for others. They can include saved people as well as unsaved people. And we are going to look at an example in Acts chapter 12, where Peter is in jail. And Acts chapter 12, verse 4. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. That's a very interesting verse. So Peter is in prison, but in the church, in one person's house, we see constant prayer or continuous prayer is being offered on his behalf to God. Now, let's see what God does based on the prayer. In verse 6, when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Verse 7, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. And you can read the story where the angel brings him out. And now Peter comes to the house where they are praying, and we can assume it is night. It's been like an all-night prayer meeting, and they think it's his ghost. And then we see Verse 16. Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Verse 17. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. So we see the power of intercessory prayer. We see when the church prayed that God heard and God did something. God did something supernaturally, and Peter was freed from the jail. Another example is in Genesis 18, verses 17 onwards, where God tells Abraham that he's going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham prays. Actually, he's praying for Lord, but he starts with this number. If there are 50 righteous, will you destroy the land? And God says no. Then he goes to 45, 40, 30, 20, and 10, and he stops there. But finally, when God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19, four are taken out. That is Lot, his wife, and two daughters. But Lot's wife looks back and becomes a pillar of salt. So effectively, it's only three people who get delivered from there. But in Genesis 19, there is a beautiful verse where it says, and I love that verse, it says that, in 19 verse 29, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, which he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. I love that verse. That based upon Abraham's intercessory prayer, Lot was rescued and his two daughters. And so, and that talks about the privilege which God has given us with respect to intercession. Now, this is really important. As we are at home, what can we do? We can intercede for people, for our state, for our city, for our country, for our prime minister, for the world. We can intercede that the virus would stop spreading, that those who have the virus would get healed. There would be a medicine, a cure for the virus, a vaccine for the virus. And the overarching prayer can be that through this all, that souls would get saved. Because that is God's desire in 1 Timothy 2, who desires, verse 4, all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is his desire. We can pray that prayer. We can pray that prayer. Now, this is really important. How do we pray? Pastor Benny had done this first message on a Wednesday evening when the lockdown happened about laboring in prayer. And that was a beautiful message. In James 5, it says, verse 16, the B part, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, this is a beautiful encouragement to us. It is using the example of Elijah. He was a man just like us, but he prayed fervently. Now, the key to the prayer is to pray fervently. It is not a prayer where we come to God and say, okay, God, if you'd like to do this, please do it. No, it's a prayer where we come and we are beseeching God and we are pleading with him and we are saying to him, Lord, you have said in your word that you do not desire that anybody should perish, that none should perish. And we are praying according to your will that you would have mercy on our land. And it's a fervent prayer. And when you and I pray fervently, and as a church we pray fervently, God will hear from heaven and he will do things on our behalf. Sitting at home, you can touch people whom you cannot meet in Bangalore City, in Karnataka, in India, in America and different parts of the world. You can touch people and their situations just by sitting at home and looking to God and praying on their behalf. And it is possible because the word of God says so in Acts chapter 12. When they prayed, God did something in the prison for Peter. Right? And this is encouraging. And What is God looking for? Is God looking for many people today, like groups of people to pray? Yes. But what if I'm alone at home? Or what if I'm a single person at home? And there is this verse here in Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. It's a beautiful verse. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. See, God is looking for one person to stand in the gap. If you see Psalm 106, when the nation of Israel sinned, we see that Moses stood in the gap. He stood in the gap. Psalm 106, verse 23, it says, therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he destroy them. And that's an encouragement for us today. Even if I'm just one person, God wants me to take my place as an intercessor. Why? Because he has saved me, because the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are praying for me, and he has given me this privilege now, not only to pray for myself, but also to pray for others, and to pray believing that God will do it. And this is a beautiful season in the lockdown for us to intercede, to fervently pray, to continuously pray for one another in the body of Christ, to continuously pray for a lost and a dying world to be saved, for this wrath, or we could say this judgment of the virus, to be taken away from us and from the world, and through it that many, many thousands and millions of people would come and given a choice, the whole 7 billion people on the planet would get saved through this situation, through our prayer. So let's be encouraged today. Let's be encouraged, right? You know, sometimes when we think of prayer, we only think about ourselves, our health, our finances, our spouse, our children, our family, and our friends and our relatives, and that is absolutely fine. But God says, hey, you can ask for more. You can ask for the person you don't know. You can ask for your neighbor or a person in your community who you don't know, but you can pray for them. You can pray for the world. You can pray for states, for cities, for towns. You can pray for prime ministers and heads of state. You can pray. You can pray for governments. And the last thought I want to say in closing is, in Romans 11, we see, it's again talking about Elijah. Verse 2, God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God. The King James says how he intercedes with God against Israel. Intercession, as we understand in closing, is not only praying for people or on behalf of people. Yeah, that is the predominant part of intercession in the Bible. But there is also another kind of intercession where we pray against injustice, where we pray against unrighteousness, where we pray against what we see in the land, against sin and iniquity. And that was Elijah's prayer in James 5. His prayer was because of the sin in the land. It was against Israel for them to come to a place where they would repent before God. And so intercession is also that kind of prayer, where when we see injustice and unrighteousness and iniquity and all kinds of crazy things, we can pray against it before God. Yeah? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for, this evening. Thank you for speaking to our hearts today. Make us people who are encouraged, Lord, to take our place as intercessors before you, to stand in the gap, to stand in the breach, so that the wrath would be taken away of what is going on in our country today and in the countries of the world today, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that the whole world today would come to a saving knowledge of saving grace. They would become believers in you and be saved and would be forgiven their sins, Father, we pray. We thank you for this message. We thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, thank you for your encouragement, Father, we pray. Be with our government. Be with Prime Minister Modi. Help him, Lord, we pray, to make the right decisions. Pray for his salvation, the salvation of all his cabinet party members, and the whole salvation of India, we pray. We thank you. We worship you. Keep us, Lord, safe in your care. In Jesus' name, amen.